Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. We are a podcast that deals with pop culture ephemera. We are, to steal a term from recent guest David Weiner, nostalgia curators. We are the dreamers of dreams. No, we are nerds talking about nerd shit. And I am here today with one of my favorite nerds, Mr. Michael Vachetti. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
How are you? Coming in.
It's about as cool as I get, kids.
Coming in with morning zoo energy.
Hey, everybody, there's a wacky car accident out there.
Oh, you better watch. Well, after the break, we're going to send our intern out to get as many pickles as we can.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. You know, we're recording on a Friday and Fridays have a weird energy.
Yeah. Fridays bring it. It's like, oh, there's hope again because we're at the weekend. So like.
Right. And then you blink and then it's over. Speaking of weird energy, today what we're going to talk about is Walt Disney World, which we've talked about plenty on this podcast. But today we're going to talk about how to fix Walt Disney World. Now, you might be saying, is it broken?
Yes.
I might argue yes. Some might argue no, but today's episode is going to go in a bunch of different directions. I personally have 7 ideas that I've written down. Some of them are more practical things. Some of them are more fantastical things that I just want for myself. Mm-hmm. And some of them are, I think, slightly political things, although should not be political things. Mm-hmm. But this was your idea, Mike, and I'm excited to talk about it. I guess I should say before we get into it, for those who don't know, there's been a global pandemic.
What?
And I know.
Nobody told me.
I'm so sorry. And Mike only listens to Newsmax. And this is all right. I shouldn't say this like it's a fact. Many of us believe that the Walt Disney Corporation has used this global pandemic as a way of doing a lot of things they wanted to do with Disney World, to get rid of people they wanted to get rid of, to scale down things they wanted to scale down, to basically deal with which to them is their biggest problem, which is crowds. Increasingly, some critics might say, and I might be one of them, that Disney World is becoming something that is only for rich families, which is really a fucking bummer. So, as of right now, Disney World is open and operating, but there aren't parades. There are little, like, I forget what they call them. They're like mini parades. They're like a float will come down the street and you'll.
They called them, I think, cavalcades, but.
Cavalcades, yeah.
But they did away with those because they started doing character meet and greets again. I don't know if I actually. This should show everybody because, you know, Mike knows me. Mm-hmm. No, like I'm usually the guy who knows this stuff.
Yeah,
I'm the day to day. Like you could ask me what's going on in Disney World, and I can give you the skinny. I have become so jaded,
disillusioned
in recent months, and I think especially it was very easy for me to do that. Also, and also just like not pay attention to the news as much involving the parks because I was like I'm not going to go until I feel truly safe.
Right.
And so because of that, it's been a lot easier for me to like let a lot of that news go by. So I don't remember if they've brought back the parades yet.
I don't know. I thought that they hadn't. I think fireworks are back in some.
Fireworks are back.
Are meet and greets back?
So it's socially distanced meet and greets.
Oh, so it's that wave to Winnie the Pooh from a balcony shit?
Kind of. It's so what they've now. So it used to be only outdoors. And yes, if you're standing 6 feet away, you basically can take like a selfie with them in the background.
Right.
now that's being upgraded to indoors, but the same thing. You're still socially distanced. You're still indoors.
Sounds fun.
So it's taking little steps closer.
And look, we're not criticizing Walt Disney World for taking practical precautions because of the pandemic. What we're criticizing them for, what I'm criticizing them for, is that amongst all of these cutbacks, they've raised their prices. And look, the prices always go up, but in a year or 2 years now, right, where you're taking things away that were a part of this experience, that remember the, you know, I don't know the exact number, but I'll just say the average family, the average family doesn't go all the time. Sometimes the family goes once in their life, and this is their Disney trip, and it should be magical. And now it is not as magical, frankly, as it was 5 years ago, but costs more. And I guess the other big thing that will come up today, and it's hard to explain this because it's convoluted on purpose, is that Disney used to have something called Fast Pass, which was a very democratic thing where each person who went to one of the Disney parks was allowed 3 fast passes, meaning they could not wait on the long line, the traditional line, which they now call the standby line. You kind of could go to the short line. And everybody got 3. And because everyone got 3, you kind of picked what you wanted. It helped you make your day. And it was something very democratic. Well, now they don't have that. Now they have lightning lanes. And lightning lanes are fast passes that you have to pay for. And not only do you have to pay based on how popular that ride is today, and you have to pay based on how popular that ride is in general, and you pay through the app. So literally, it used to be that you would pay for your Disney trip before you got there, and then, you know, you'd buy things there, obviously. But now they're nickel and diming you all day long. Literally all day, you're doing these little transactions on your Disney app.
Well, so I was about to say, if I can, I'm not trying to defend them. I'm just trying to clarify.
Please.
What's going on. Okay, so they released a service called Genie Plus. Within that service, basically now, if you want what was the FastPass system, sort of what was known as the MaxPass system out in Disneyland, where in Disneyland it was you paid $15 a day and you basically got access to FastPass digitally, and that was how MaxPass worked. And they took that system and now they've brought it into Disney World. The difference is that, so yes, you have to pay $15 per day per person in order to have this access to the lightning lane. Separate from that altogether, and you do not have to pay the $15 to then have access to this, but separate to that altogether is individual ride you can purchase fast passes for, essentially. And there's 2 rides per park.
But those aren't called lightning lane?
That is not light. Believe me, I understand.
It's so convoluted on purpose, because whoever devised this came up with a way where they wanted to make it difficult for you to compare what they had and what you have. So like, it's all these weird little changes that are, I think, purposefully hard to describe. And I really do. It's convoluted now, the system. It's more money.
I understand. Like, it can be a little confusing, but basically there's lightning lanes, so you can basically pay for a whole day's worth of fast passes, whatever you can get based on availability.
Wait, you can get as many as you want, or you could get 3?
No, you get as many as you want / can on the day. So the lightning lane is like, you know, let's just say you purchase your lightning lane, right? You go to the park. Hey, you just use your first lightning lane reservation at 9:00. You're on the line waiting to get on your ride.
I see. That was not my understanding of it. I
understand. Listen, again, they did a the video that they released where they explained this was very vague and unclear.
Right.
And they did a bad job. They did a really bad job explaining to people, which I think is why also so many of us reacted so fiercely and so negatively initially. It was funny because in the days after, like, I did calm down. I did think, and I was like, okay, I don't like that I have to pay for this. I preferred the free, I get 3 and then I could just kind of, go from there. However, and arguably, and what's unfortunate is that, of course, even though I'm a Disney expert and all, but like, I didn't figure out how to game that system. There were ways to game that system.
The old way?
So the FastPass Plus system you could game. And then before that, of course, the old FastPass system where you got the paper tickets.
Yeah.
People could game. There was actually, There's whole things about how to game that because, when you went to put your park ticket in to get your ticket, basically certain attraction boxes were connected so that they knew, if you got a fast pass already for this, you can't get one till after a certain point. Yes. Well, depending on what side of the park they were on, they were not connected. So like people were able to game the system that way. With Fast Pass Plus, what I couldn't believe when I heard about it, I was like, how did I not think of that? The way to game that system was you make your 3 Fast Pass reservations, right? Which for most people, what that meant was, especially like me, was you made a 9 o'clock reservation, you made a 10 o'clock and an 11, and then right. You just tried to get any other Fast Passes.
Right, because then you get 3 more.
You don't get 3 more. It was you just got as many as you could get for the rest of the day. You got one
right,
at a time.
Right.
One at a time. So you just did that. The way to game that system that I failed to realize was once you scanned in for your, let's say your 9 o'clock, right? You scan in for your 9 o'clock, you could then go in to the system, to the Fastpass Plus system, then go, okay, I have a reservation for 10 o'clock, but since the system already knows I've used my 9 o'clock, I can move up that 10 o'clock to maybe a 9:30 or a 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just scan, and that's how you could gain. You could have gamed that system, and you could get even more. I didn't realize that, mm-hmm. and I kind of wish I did. So there was that. Now with Lightning Lane, it's more just one. It's just one at a time. You're basically scanning in one at a time. You're getting to choose the attractions. They say it's
because here's where I'm confused. And
yeah, sure.
Why would you do Lightning Lane? What's the difference between Lightning Lane and just doing it for single attractions? Like, why would you not do Lightning Lane?
Okay. So two different things here. Okay. There are single attractions in each park. There are 2 attractions only that are not included in Lightning Lane that you have to pay individually, basically, to get Lightning Lane access for.
Right.
So each park only has
because they're not part of Lightning Lane.
They're not. They're
because separate. They're popular.
Because basically, yes, the most popular attractions are the ones where they're going to hit you for however much per person.
Understand this about Disney. If that single attraction, let's say you want to go, I don't know, I'm just pulling a number out. Let's say it's $10 to do mine, Snow White, $7 of Mine Train. Next year, it's going to be $11. The year after that, it's going to be $12. The year after that, it's going to be $13. That's the Disney way. So that's what scares me. Also, you're going to have poor families sweating it out on the standby line and more affluent families having a time zipping all around. And that's what pisses me off.
I totally agree. Because like this is the thing that even I felt weird about, like after they announced all this I don't know if here's the thing, like it's mixed for me because on some level, yes, what's going to end up happening is there are going to be, unfortunately, poorer families who, yes, are not going to have that access, who are going to
they're going to be standby only,
which is, or they're going to get to such a point of desperation that they're going to pay up, like that the inconvenience is so great that the convenience becomes worth it. And that I have problems with. I think here's the thing, for years now they've been trying to find ways to limit crowds artificially. Like that's been one of their things. They've been trying to find ways to artificially lower crowds. Part of that even was raising ticket prices. As much as everyone thinks it's about money, yes, there's money to be made, but ultimately part of the idea was, is if we find ways to artificially lower crowds, because the reality is the only way that they could quote unquote lower crowds, but have actually like made this worth it for people was to build more attractions. And part of the thing is that this is something I've never understood for the life of me. I do not understand it. I don't know when the mentality changed. Maybe it was around the time of Animal Kingdom or what have you.
Yeah.
But like they don't make what we used to call people eaters.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make people eating attractions. For those of you unfamiliar with the term, so these are attractions that will take on, that basically will be able to have thousands per hour. Pirates of the Caribbean was made to handle like 2,000 or 3,000 guests an hour. It was made to move like that. You think about presently something so like Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth can handle huge loads of people because it is a constantly loading attraction. You're every 10 or 15 seconds, you're putting 3 to 4 people in a vehicle,
right,
moving them along.
And that would help with the crowds. It also, you know, when you're on an attraction, you feel like, okay, this is what I came for.
Yeah.
So it was very helpful for that.
Yeah. And so what has happened, so just getting back to the system, yes, there's two attractions that you have to pay for individually. Otherwise, basically, if you want access to what would have been the FastPass system, there's about 40 other attractions and what have you that you get access to through Lightning Lane. And basically, once you pay your $15 a person, first thing, for your day, you just go on the app.
Remember, if you're a family, right, and you've got four kids,
yeah,
that stuff will start to
add up. Totally, yeah. And I mean, listen, the whole thing, we only started being used on the 19th.
So it's new.
Yeah. It's very new. So it is, we still have no idea how it's going to affect crowds. I hate to say it, but like, it's going to take us a year to actually figure out,
right,
is the worst happening, or is this somehow equalizing lines? Is it limiting the number of locals who come? Cause sorry, getting back to like, one of the things is that they're trying to artificially lower crowds. And one of the ways to do that is to discourage locals and make it primarily something for the visitor or the person who's coming in as a tourist. And for that person, you know what, depending on even how much money you make aside, just even I thought about it, like I'm not a particularly rich person, but like, when I think about it, when I think about planning my vacation now, you know what, it starts to be like, okay, it really sucks that I have to add for my wife and I an extra $30 a day. But but what it's going to hopefully mean is I'm going to get to do the attractions I want to do, like that I'm actually going to get from the, I'm going to derive value from this, more value than I was getting from FastPass Plus. That's at least, because I often found that FastPass Plus, like once I used my three, it was very hard to use more because so many of them were already taken. They were already used by the time I got, because also, you think about it.
FastPass Plus was refreshing your app over and over and over again.
Yeah. And it's, so that's why, I don't know. I want to wait and see on this. Of course, I don't like that they're charging for it. And honestly, it's so funny because this is something that there's almost, there's two kinds of, I would say, Disney fans. There's two kinds of Disney Parks fans, the planners and the people who just want to wing it. They've basically made the system for the people who want to wing it / the new people who don't want to do the planning. And whereas those of us who, I gotta admit that the part of the fun of going on the vacation is the planning, is right, the, because what I've always wanted was kind of what this app does and doesn't do. So there's a paid part of this app. There's a free part of this app. The free part of the app, you actually tell the app the things you're interested in and like the rides you want to go on stuff, and it'll give you an itinerary,
right,
a rough itinerary based upon crowd levels and all kinds of stuff. And so like, it's a nice thing, but like what I really want is, how about I just tell you the stuff I want to do, and then you tell me basically when I can do it. So like, I don't care if, on a given day, like if I want to do Star Wars Rise of Resistance, because I still haven't done it, but I want to do it. I don't care if, I got to start my day in Epcot and I'm going on Spaceship Earth at 9 a.m. and I'm ending my day at Studios at 6 to get on Rise. Like, I don't care. Just tell me. I just want to be able to do these things. You put me where you want because you know your crowds. You know how to move things along. So you just tell me where to be and I'll be there. But I know that not everybody likes that on their vacations.
Right, right. All right. Well, I guess we have to see whether or not this system is going to work to do that.
It could be gone in 5 years. I would not be surprised.
Let's get into it. Let's get into, what are some of the fixes you'd make? What are some of the changes you'd make?
So I've been thinking about this for a while because I would almost have to go park by park. I don't know how, I forget. Now, how were you thinking? Were you just going to kind of go in general, or do you want to go park by park?
I was going to go in general, but you could go park by park. That's fine.
All right. So I'm going to start park by park. I'm kind of coming in here with a wrecking ball.
All right. I say, okay.
I like gave myself an imaginary budget of like $4 billion a park.
Yeah, sure.
And, like things I would want to do. So Animal Kingdom, I'm going to start Animal Kingdom and we'll work our way up to the fun stuff. I mean, here's the thing with Animal Kingdom is Dinoland USA. As a dinosaur lover, as people of this podcast may know, I've done the Jurassic Park episodes. Like, I'm a dinosaur guy. I just would flatten that thing and start over.
Okay.
I don't really know much about what I would do besides the fact that for me, the e-ticket or the sort of main attraction I would want for that section of the park is some kind of Jungle Cruise style boat ride just with dinosaurs.
Okay.
Yeah, that park. First off, that park.
Animal Kingdom, get rid of Dinosaur the Ride?
Yeah, because I have no, okay. I have no, like, yeah, I don't usually go on it. I don't
go on it either because it's a spooky, scary. Dinosaurs come out of you. But I know some people like it.
I know. And I'm sure those people are disappointed. Like, I'm sorry. And this is going to be the thing is I'm going to sound, I hate to say it. I'm old man yells at cloud.
Sure.
In this conversation, because I just don't like attractions where you're basically like, I don't consider it a relaxing vacation when you're going to like shove me in a box and toss me around.
Okay.
And call that a ride. Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather, you know, it's a small world, moves pretty fast. So I'm good with that. No attraction needs to really move faster than It's a Small World. And like, I'm fine.
I like fast. I don't like high. Or drops. Like, I love Test Track because it's just fast. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah, I don't like coasters. It's a straight. It's a straight shot. It's pretty straight. That was sort of the only thing I didn't like about when I did Cars Land was they have like a hilly part, and that didn't agree with me. But anyway, so I would remake Dino Land from the ground up. What I would base it around, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it would be nice if Disney could make a dinosaur movie that would merit it. I had thought about for a little bit, maybe making it something themed to, you know, basically like the ducks, Donald Duck and, you know, Scrooge and all them, because they already do meet and greets for those characters there.
Maybe like a Duckburg?
Kind of, or just like this idea of like, oh, the, you know, the DuckTales crew maybe goes on some kind of expedition and finds dinosaurs.
That'd be a great DuckTales ride.
And right? Again, find a way to like link it to DuckTales or something. Like, that could be fun. Yeah, I would be okay
adventures
that.
Like that all the time.
Yeah. So some with DuckTales. Yeah. So maybe that for, and because dinosaurs are related to birds, like that'd be nice. So,
okay.
There's that. And the other thing I would do is I would just build Beastly Kingdom, which they should have built anyway.
Right. Which is part of the original idea was that there would be in Animal Kingdom mythological creatures, which mm-hmm. the dragon is still part of some of the iconography, but it never happened.
Yeah. And yeah, just that would be like my main fixes for Animal Kingdom.
And would you change Avatar Land to be based on a movie people have seen or leave it alone?
I mean, if I had my druthers, I would just level that thing and pretend it never happened.
Okay.
But now I'll leave it. It makes
Flight of Passage is a fun ride. We could just turn it into a Rocketeer ride.
No. We're saving the Rocketeer for studios, okay. Which will be next. Because I was gonna say, so like Disney's Hollywood Studios. Oh boy, do we need some fixing?
Oh, you feel that way? Well, I've got ideas for Hollywood Studios as well.
Why don't you go then? You tell me what are you thinking for studios?
Oh, okay. Well, these are two ideas. Number one, make Smuggler's Run, which is a Millennium Falcon ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a real e-ticket. It's a fake e-ticket. It's a video game. Mm-hmm. Make it into you could still have it so you are piloting it, but take the game element of it and dial that way, way back. Mm-hmm. So even if you're someone who's not very video game literate, you could still have a smooth, fun ride. And by the way, I am video game literate. I do play games. I had a shitty ride. Everyone on my, I literally apologized to everyone else. I was like, I'm sorry I keep crashing and ruining this ride for everyone. I've got 3 seconds to learn how to play this game that I have to play right now. And I don't have a second chance at it. I want it to be, you know, I get what they were doing, but it's too much of a video game. It needs to be less mm-hmm. that. Also, let's make the Millennium Falcon the official icon for Hollywood Studios and not the Tower of Terror. Because right now is the 50th anniversary, so they've got like magical sparkles on the Tower of Terror. And I'm like, what? You're trying to make the Tower of Terror pretty? No. Let's make the Millennium Falcon the official Hollywood Studios icon.
I mean, if they do that, they might as well change the name too. But that's been a whole other thing. They've been trying to change the name of that park for like the last 5 years, and they still can't figure out what to call it.
It's such a generic name, Hollywood Studios.
I mean, it is, but that's kind of what it used to be. What it really was just essentially like, this is Disney's take on Hollywood.
It's Disney's version of Universal.
I mean, kind of, yeah. Well, but Universal hadn't existed yet. I know. It's Michael Eisner.
He knew it was happening, though.
He knew. Yeah. He needed
to market.
It's true.
But no, What would you do to Hollywood Studios?
So a couple things. One, turn Rock and Roller Coaster into a Rocketeer coaster, even though I don't like coasters, but
at least
for me, then thematically,
yeah,
things are going to work there because then you have that Rocketeer. Imagine that. That's Rocketeer themed. Tower of Terror is next to it. Next to that, you basically build the Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin that already exists in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And build the cable car bar that was like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And so then you have an eating place instead. So all of that. And at least then everything on Sunset Boulevard basically feels like old Hollywood Sunset Boulevard. Like it all contributes to that theme, and also find some show to replace Beauty and the Beast. Like I love Beauty and the Beast to death, but that show has been there since 1991. It's time.
Okay.
What to put in instead? They've talked about a Tangled show for a while, and I'm all for more Tangled representation.
Me too. I like Tangled better than Frozen.
Me too. Well, yeah. I mean, that's not even a hot take.
Frozen gets weird in the middle. Frozen, there's trolls. You forget that there's trolls and stuff in that movie.
Sorry, that movie doesn't make. Sorry, that's been my thing. Is like I remember seeing it and enjoying it, but then as time goes on, I'm like, well, I'm sorry. It's still like to me, the storyline still doesn't make any damn sense.
Right?
Why did they need to wipe Anna's memory because she got hit with ice?
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
The second one makes less sense.
That's why I've never seen it. It just seems like all they did with Elsa was create a character who like might have been cool in the Avengers.
So okay, here's another one since we're on Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
And again, this is gonna make me sound like an old man, and I'm fine with it. Let's reskin Galaxy's Edge to be during the original Star Wars timeline. Which, by the way, don't think that that's not in the contingency plans. It would be hard for Rise of Resistance, but I'm sure they could figure out a way to do it.
I mean, alongside that idea, what I've often also just thought about is I don't care if these lands fit into the timeline or what.
Right. Like, why do they have to be canon?
Like, yeah, why don't we just have Star Wars? Hey, here's the cantina that you always wanted to go to. Go to the cantina. Right. Coruscant. Go to Coruscant. Like,
it's super weird. Canon has gone so crazy that, like, the fact that Galaxy's Edge is in canon, because it's very specifically between Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, because that's when it was made, and I guess they also want to keep it in that. It's crazy.
From my knowledge, that was all Bob Iger, who basically was like, we paid for this. Like, you know, we're paying for this new trilogy, so it should feature our new trilogy.
Yeah, well, see how that works out.
Yeah, I know. Oh, please. Yeah.
I think I'm done with a lot of my things are more general. So I'm done with Hollywood. If you have anything more for that.
The only thing I was going to say was I was actually just going to expand Star Wars Land alongside what you were saying. Just like, so have Star Wars Land go from Star Tours all the way through Galaxy's Edge and then maybe a little more. So that way we could fit basically three lands in Endor-ish.
Yeah. It is quite small. People don't realize.
Yeah. Retheme Galaxy's Edge, maybe to Tatooine, and then maybe Coruscant and just dumb bum bum. There should be in one of those, maybe Coruscant actually could have like the Jedi Temple, which would be really sick. And what they need is a classic straight up dark ride.
Yeah.
That could be like the story of the Skywalker saga as a dark ride. Mm-hmm. I think that could be really fun.
That'd be really cool if you did it in world. So like,
yeah,
it looks like someone on this planet made this dark ride.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Like, using like a lot of holograms and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, there's stuff like that. And also just, and as also opening up that section so that you can have characters basically meet and greets with all the characters that you love. Like, let's just be honest. We all want to meet the Mandalorian. We all want to meet Ahsoka Tano. We all want to meet
Baby Yoda. Rey. People Baby want Grogu. And I've heard, I don't know if this is true or not, that they've thought about how can we bring Grogu in. First of all, the timeline issue, but also then how do we do it? Do we have it be like the way we do Baby Groot, where he can't really move, but there's a person next to them? Like, how do we do Grogu?
That would probably be how they would do it. And I think that would be
how do you keep kids from touching it, though? Immediately,
if you got to put it high enough.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just put it out of reach. or there's basically like it's a Mandalorian and Grogu meet.
Right.
And
so right.
Like, the Mandalorian is kind of always
protecting him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun. That could be good. That could be.
there's a way to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's studios. That's how I would fix studios. All right, Epcot. Oh boy. Oof. My you know, my once favorite park in the entire Walt Disney World. Most of my concentration would be on fixing what I will forever call Future World. I don't care what they call it now, whatever neighborhood nonsense they come up with, but I'm always going to call it Future World. And it's just basically, you know, if I really had my druthers, I would destroy that Guardians of the Galaxy attraction that still hasn't opened. Get Guardians of the Galaxy out of there. It doesn't belong. There's no good reason it should be in Epcot. There's no reason whatsoever.
Well, it's IP, baby. IP is the name of it. I mean, why is Frozen in Epcot?
I could at least kind of deal with Frozen. Like, I could somewhat deal with Frozen. It's at least rooted in, like, Nordic culture. And, like, there's right. a tangential connection. There's just absolutely nothing in Guardians of the Galaxy. There's nothing in Guardians of the Galaxy whatsoever. There's anything to do with the science and discovery. Like, there just isn't.
Right.
What would I put in there instead? I mean, I wish I could go back to a form of Universe of Energy, an updated Universe of Energy that actually acknowledges the importance of alternative resources.
Not how great fossil fuels are.
Yeah, like, hey, man, those fossil fuels, this is where we get most of our energy from. You know, oh, yeah, no, you can't rely on that solar energy for very long, because once the sun goes down, there's no more solar. It's, yeah, I would something like that. Mission Space, I would really like to change to some kind of attraction that is also that's less intense and that's more about about space exploration.
It's a weird attraction because there's two versions of it. There's the intense version that make people sick, and then there's the not intense version that's just kind of really outdated.
Yeah, it's kind of dull.
It'd really be made better.
Yeah, and like, you know, because SpaceX, like, there is, if you go to the Kennedy Space Center, they have some wonderful like shows and 3D things that they do there that you could find a way to do something like that. And, you know, like for me, actually, it's so funny. So when I went to Kennedy Space Center, like probably one of the most awe-inspiring and inspirational things that you get to do while you're there is you get to go see, they have the space shuttle Atlantis set up, and they do a whole thing where they do a two-part show. They take you into two rooms and they explain to you the history of the space program and how Atlantis came to be. And how it ends is they raise the screen, and there it is right in front of you, the space shuttle. And it's larger than life, and it's unbelievable. And like, if a show, if NASA can do something as simple as that and like take people's breath away, there's no reason Disney can't do something similar. So I would love to see some kind of space attraction that fix that up. I'm not going to fight Test Track. I know people love it. Keep it.
Well, in Disneyland, it's Cars themed, and some people tend to they like the ride of it better.
The Cars Land one is pretty fun. Here's the truth. I've never seen Cars, so I have no connection to the characters. Yeah. The attraction was it's kind of cool, and some of the animatronics are really cool. And the driving is cool, but like, I don't know. It was fine. I'm not a big fan. I think in part also just because like I've never seen the movies, I have no idea who these characters are. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. Right. So Test Track can stay where it is. I would say for the land, I would keep the land as it is, except I would just fix that one show. That was the Lion King Circle of Life show. Now it's something else. Awesome Planet. I've heard complaints about that. I'd fix that little show, but I'd leave that as it be because I love the land.
Can we change some of the carpets in the pavilion? Okay. Because it looks like a hotel from the 1970s.
You know, that hurts when you say that, but like, yeah, I know, because I love that wall carpet, but you know what? All right, I'll...
You know what I mean? It's airport from the 60s?
It was the 80s, man. They loved wall carpet in the 80s.
Yeah, they certainly loved it. They certainly did.
So there's that. Let's see. The Seas. Oh, good God. Can we just get rid of that Nemo theme?
I've said it before. The Nemo ride is the worst ride in all of Walt Disney World. I don't like it.
It's bad. It's bad. I don't know if it's the worst.
What's worse?
I mean, Stitch used to be worse, but now that's gone.
Go back to extra terrestrial. Go back to what
Tomorrowland 94. We'll get there.
Iser wanted to do and make it an alien, an alien ride. Go ahead and do it. By gosh, that was what was cool about the Great Movie Ride, was you had a little bit of an alien attraction in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do with the seas. I just don't want Nemo there. If it could be Alpha, if it could be the Alpha base again, I would be all right with that. And then imagination, just, you know, we don't like to do this, but truth be told, I think a return to the original Journey into Imagination from 82. I think that ride was always, that was an evergreen ride. You never needed to change it. It was something that could have been in Fantasyland in Magic Kingdom and never needed to be changed. Right.
Well, you know, we don't like to do that, but they did do that with Tiki. I mean, they added IP to the Chanted Tiki Room, putting in the birds from Aladdin and Lion King, and they went back.
Yeah.
They undid it.
So I would, I would do that. I think that ride would be wonderful with some updates, and just going back to that original Journey to Imagination, I think that was a phenomenal ride, and I think people would still love it.
Yeah.
The only thing also I wanted to add about Epcot is just like in terms of adding maybe attractions to the countries, because like I think there should be like an attraction in Japan. I think it's a shame that there isn't. Yeah. I know there's been talk of like a bullet train roller coaster through Mount Fuji. I know there was that for a while.
Well, don't they own or at least have licensed Studio Ghibli? Can't we do a Ghibli attraction?
Well, that was my thought was, okay, so they licensed Studio Ghibli for the DVDs streaming right now. HBO Max has the streaming rights,
but they still have Ghibli. Like, I think I saw a pin there.
They have their merchandise. Yeah. They have their merch.
A Ghibli ride would be awesome. Like,
I think I agree.
I mean, there's so much, I mean, you could do like imagine like a Totoro dark ride, like a traditional
Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Going through that spa. Oh my God. There's so much you could do with Ghibli's work. And I think it would also be great just because it would actually expose people to Studio Ghibli. There's probably a lot of people who don't know still about Studio Ghibli, and like they could find really some amazing films there. So I would agree. I would do some kind of dark ride with Studio Ghibli. I think that would be
awesome.
Amazing. Finally build the, some people don't know, but like, so when you go into the German pavilion, let's say if you go into the German restaurant Biergarten, when you walk in, if you look immediately to your right, you're going to see a glass pane and it looks down into basically just an empty room.
Okay.
What that was going to be was that was going to be the Rhine River ride. Mm. And it was just going to be a boat ride down the Rhine River and their German sets. And like,
didn't happen.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Like just a nice, gentle boat ride akin to Grand Fiesta Tour. I think people would love that. And I think that's it in terms of Epcot. So we can move into the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, I have a few for this.
Okay.
All right, let's get to my biggest thing.
Go.
And the fans know about this. I love the Haunted Mansion. I want to expand the Haunted Mansion into a land.
Yes.
Now, in Disneyland Paris, they almost kind of have that because Big Thunder Mountain in Disneyland Paris is actually connected to Phantom Manor. The owner of the Phantom Manor ran the mine cart, and it's a haunted mine cart. So maybe do that somehow with this. You know, right now you've got the mansion and Memento Mori. Let's expand that out. Let's do a restaurant. I kind of like almost like a Jekyll and Hyde type restaurant. Mm. I just want more spookiness.
Yeah, and you know what? Alongside that, like, so we have Tom Sawyer Island there that nobody goes to, and I'm just gonna be honest, nobody cares about.
Right.
Make that, if you want to make that connection, because if you think about like placement wise, you've got Haunted Mansion, you can then take the boat or walk over to a little island that is an expansion on that, and then from there you can go to Big Thunder.
There's a lot of story there you could play with.
Yeah, and especially since now that'll also link around to Splash Mountain, that's going to be rethemed to Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
And then you can also bring in that New Orleans, some of that New Orleans energy.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you can kind of connect all of it, even though in Disney World, the Haunted Mansion in Disney World is technically designed in a more upstate New York.
Right, right. Which is why I prefer it. It's not the Southern Manor.
Yeah.
thing, but still, but you know, I just want more of it. I want more.
No, I get that. I get, hey, yeah, I agree. Like Haunted Mansion is the, is probably still the best attraction in Walt Walt Disney World, and possibly one of the best attractions in the world.
I think it's the greatest dark ride ever.
Yeah, I would agree.
Without a doubt. What would you do to Magic Kingdom?
Magic Kingdom, I think Tomorrowland needs a lot of work. I think specifically it would, this is the thing, because I would say, like, I have things I'd want to get rid of. Like, I'd get rid of Monsters, Inc., because I just don't think it fits there.
I love it, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it doesn't.
That guy.
Yeah. No, it doesn't fit there. I mean, it's tough to say. Like, I don't know, because I couldn't think of IP I'd want to necessarily bring in. I would rather just leave that space to be new ideas, new attractions, new. Also, I like the idea of playing. The whole idea of Tomorrowland 94 was, you know, making a, you know, looking at the future from the past and like creating a steampunk future that can never be beaten.
Is it Paris or who? What it's park? Paris. That has like the Jules Verne steampunk Tomorrowland?
That was Paris. Now, it never got to be like fully that because of budget cutbacks, but yes, that was the ultimate idea, was that it was a very steampunk Jules Verne idea. Hopefully, I will get to find out, because I may be going to Disneyland Paris this summer.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I can't. I'm, you know, I know people are down on that park, but it'll be exciting for me to see a park that's not a U.S. Disney park. And
absolutely, yeah.
I know everybody raves about Phantom Manor. I'd be excited to try that.
Yeah.
And that's see exciting. Some of the other, and especially like the look of it, because it is, some say it is like one of the most beautiful Disney parks in the whole world. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
So yeah. So anyway, with that said, yeah, just find a way to, I mean, like I wish there was a way to bring back, I hate to say like bring back, but like, you know, bring back the Timekeeper. Do you know the Timekeeper?
No.
Okay. Well, that's one like go revisit on YouTube. So, and for those who don't, like, the Timekeeper was this really, really funny attraction where it was just a show where there was a robot named the Timekeeper who invented a time machine.
Sure.
And he sends this robot called Nine Eye using a time machine into the past and to get to see things. And she's called Nine Eye because she has nine cameras for eyes. And so the whole circle vision room is her nine eyes. Mm-hmm. We're seeing what she sees as she travels through time. And he goes because he wants to meet H.G. Wells because he's the one who wrote the time machine and that's what inspired him. And he ends up accidentally hijacking Jules Verne instead, and shenanigans ensue. By the way, this attraction, the Timekeeper is played by Robin Williams, and what's her name from Cheers was Nine Eye, the Danny DeVito's wife.
Oh, Rhea Perlman.
There we go. Thank you.
Very cool. I don't know if I've even heard about that ride.
Yeah, no. Do yourself a favor, and like, it's still, you can still watch it and probably enjoy most of it. It's fun. I mean, Robin Williams, just, you know him, and he's out with these zingers and these one-liners that just, it's still the funniest Disney attraction that's ever been made.
Hmm.
So something like that, but then also, again, something new. Let's see new stuff, you know, revamp Buzz Lightyear a little bit so that it doesn't feel sort of as cheap now, I think, by comparison. I think there are ways to update that ride, make it feel a little newer.
I want to turn the Enchanted Tiki Room into a restaurant. That was Walt's original idea, and it's kind of weird that it's not. It very clearly looks like it wants to be. It would be something like Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
Let's achieve that dream and make it a restaurant.
Totally agree. Like, yeah, I've thought that too. I was just trying to think if there's any other.
Well, another thing, and I'm stealing this idea from the internet because a lot of other people have said this.
Yeah.
An attraction based on Gravity Falls.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
You could make it look, and again, this is not my idea. I've taken it from the internet. You can make it look like the Mystery Shack. There's just so much in that series that you can do. And I feel like there's not a lot of any of that XD Disney stuff in the parks. And that's probably, that's the Disney Channel series that's really, really freaking good. Those are two big changes I would make.
I think those are good. Because I was going to say, I'm not really sure. The Magic Kingdom doesn't need too much. The one thing I will do, of course, is let's get rid of this Enchanted show and bring back Happily Ever After, because that to me was the perfect nighttime show.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a nighttime fireworks person. And then I saw Happily Ever After, and like that gets me to my core. Yes, I miss that. Maybe also I try to find a way to just put a restaurant in Magic Kingdom that's like really, really good. Like I find most restaurants in Magic Kingdom aren't that great. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Try to build something that's really tasty and really good.
Yeah.
Expand. What I would even do is expand the Plaza restaurant there. That's the one that actually is really good. And it's just that it's always booked because there's so few tables. So
yeah.
You never
yeah.
can get in there.
This is outside of the parks.
Yeah.
But bring back the Magical Express.
Mm-hmm.
The Magical Express was a shuttle bus from the Orlando airport to the resort. It was free. It was where your magical journey started. You mm-hmm. get on the Magic Express and it's like, we're taking you into Disney. And now they got rid of it. And you have to, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I guess you just have to find your own way there now.
Well, so now it's the Mears bus shuttle company that Disney essentially like licensed it to. They are doing it on their own.
Okay.
And thus you have to pay for it.
Great.
Yeah.
I have one more. How many more do you have? Do you have any?
That was basically it. Like that was most of my big stuff.
Right, my last one, pay every single employee a living wage that is up to date with inflation and is humane. Everybody. And don't tell me you can't do it. The most successful media company in the history of ever. I don't care how much you lose. Do it. Everyone a living wage. No one working at Disney World or Disneyland should be living in their car.
No.
Disgusting.
And you know, that's the other thing too. Then the cast members, like that's the, you know, not to harp on it, but truly the cast members are the people who make Walt Disney World what it is. Yes, there are the attractions, which are what you go for, but the cast members really add that, actually absolutely. Make it magical. They bring it to life. Like those are the people who end up making your day oftentimes. And, you know, they don't know it or you didn't know it. Like it's, and they deserve the utmost respect, and they deserve to be not just paid a living wage, but paid, of course, better than a living wage, you know, not just that bare minimum, like
right.
paid like in a way that is respectful. And so, right. To any listening cast members, we love you.
Yes.
And thank you for all that you do.
Oh, I forgot. I had one more idea. This one's stupid, though.
Oh, sure.
In honor of Mr. Walt Disney, there should be smoking sections because God, that man loved a cigarette. He was a chain smoker. He tried to never smoke in front of children. He would hide it. Right now is the 50th anniversary. Some of the restaurants have chili because he loved chili. He was such an American. I feel like that chili should come with a cigarette. Do it the Walt way. Chili and a cigarette. Oh, that's a great Sunday.
Well, you know, what's funny is Walt used to eat hot dogs raw, like out of the fridge. He loved hot dogs.
For a very, very wealthy man, he brought chili with him all over the world because he didn't know if he'd get any good food in France.
Yeah, that sounds like Walt.
But you know what? Actually, let me say this. And this is not a change to the parks, but a change to the discourse. I really don't like when people go, well, Walt would have liked this or Walt would do that. But, you know, Walt did this. Context is everything. Times change. To me, the weakest argument is when they go, well, Walt wouldn't like that. Well, guess what? Walt wanted to make Epcot and his brother said, no, we're going to make a park.
No, actually, that's not really true. Basically, Walt was pretty committed to making Epcot. The big thing is that everybody else around Imagineering was like, you really can't do this. You can't ask people to live in a community that they can't vote in, that they can't like.
Right. They can't change what's in their home.
Yeah.
And Disney,
exactly.
There was going to be an attraction in Epcot as an actual like community. Yeah. As a sort of like almost like another Disneyland as a way to just bring people in.
Yeah. But
he died. And at least from what I've read, Roy was like, yeah, well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Roy was basically everybody knew it was not a good idea to sort of go through with exactly what Walton was talking about. Also, because it was something that was still evolving, that was still being developed, and that without him and his vision, it would be really hard to go through. Like there was that, but that aside, you know, it was just, as I said, like too many people, like a lot of people brought up those ideas that, hey, this, you can't have people live this way. This idea doesn't necessarily work the way you want. Like, you can't control people to that degree. And so, okay, we shouldn't do that, but what can we do instead? Well, we can take the principles of Epcot, the ideas that are behind it, and like turn that into some kind of educational attraction and hopefully teach people about these things. Then they can go home and sort of spread these ideas. And like, I find it, you know, I admire that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, no, because like even the resorts, I mean,
maybe it's easier to get coffee. I mean, like, you got, you know, they got Joffrey's, but then on Main Street, they've got Starbucks, and it's always packed. I wish there'd just be a little kiosk. Like, make it easier. Give me an easier coffee option. Because as a caffeine addict, I would find that, like, I would crash. It's like, let's make coffee easier to get.
I was going to say, and you know what? if I could change anything, merchandise. Like, merchandise should not be so generic. There should be more resort-specific merchandise. There should be more park-specific merchandise.
Look what they do in Japan. That stuff's great.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, Japan. Well, it is fascinating. Actually, this is the fascinating comparison, because Disney is a publicly traded company. Disneyland, Tokyo Disneyland is owned by the Oriental Land Company.
Right.
But, it's a licensed park.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a licensed park.
It's not run by Disney.
But it's private, and that's a privately owned company who still is who still functions on the basis of profit.
Right.
But they don't cut corners, and they don't go cheap on anything. They do everything to the fullest, and that's why many say they have the best park in the world.
Right. They have Tokyo Disney Sea, which is really advanced.
Yeah.
You know, some of Disney is showing its age. You know, you look at some of it and you go, like, I was just making fun of the pavilion's carpeting. Some of it's just like, this feels old. Not that old is necessarily bad, but you think about what Disney's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, that's the thing is it. I mean, you know, it's funny. So I remember being a kid, and when I went to Epcot, like, I used to love Epcot as a kid, even though all you ever hear about is, oh, kids don't like Epcot. I loved it. I ate everything up there. And to me, what I really liked was, I mean, first, you had the attraction Horizons, which showed you like what the future was going to be like back in 1982. But what's, you know, people complain that became outdated as time went on. But I'm sorry, like, that attraction talked about us living in space and undersea. Mm-hmm. We still don't have, not only do we like not have that, we don't have anything close to that.
Yeah. You know, I think really. In general also, and I know this is not a battle that I'm going to win. In general, mm-hmm. I'd like to be less IP obsessed.
Yeah, I agree. And
it's just not going to happen. You know, like one of the things that makes the Haunted Mansion so great is it's not an IP. Now they're making it. They just did the Muppet special and they're making a new film. If the film is successful this time, they will do what they did with Captain Jack Sparrow and add the film into it. I'll protest, but they'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Haunted Mansion. We were just saying it's one of the best attractions ever. It's not based on a film. It's not. It was a unique idea just for the park, but it's so quintessentially Disney.
Well, you know what? You know what's so funny, though? So I have not, I'll be honest, I have not had an opportunity to do a lot of research on this. But what the Haunted Mansion also is it's a pastiche. Mm-hmm. It's a pastiche of that haunted house horror that you'd find in books and in movies, especially around the time that they were designing it. I think there are some scenes from the Haunted Mansion that are supposedly, you know, that there are versions that are similar to scenes you would find in the, I believe it's the 1962 Robert Wise film, The Haunting.
Right. Yes. Some of the design of like the hallways and stuff is very influenced by that film.
Yeah. And like, but that's the thing. That's because, you know, Rolly Crump and all those guys used to, Walt would just like be like, yeah, go out and find inspiration. So they'd go watch some horror movies.
Right. Right. Now they go, okay, go into the vault, see what we got.
No, more like, okay, how do we make Marvel? How do we put Marvel in here?
Yeah. Well, okay.
Notice that's interesting though. We didn't bring up a single Marvel thing to put in these parks.
No, I mean,
and I don't really know what or where I'd put My understanding is, I'm not going to lie, like part of my understanding is the reason that we're getting films like, we even got Guardians of the Galaxy, but also like Doctor Strange, The Eternals, Shang-Chi. These are all characters that are not included in the Universal licensing deal.
Well, that makes sense.
So for those, and anybody who doesn't know, Universe, that there's Marvel attractions over in Universal. That was a deal made well before Disney ever bought them. And that they, it seems to be a contract that they just can't break. So it's a contract that they're trying to get around. And the thing is basically Universal licensed the Avengers, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man, and the Hulk. So any characters that don't fall under those, you know, under those banners,
right? They Which can is use. Why you can have Marvel stuff in Disneyland, because this is specific for that part of the country.
Yeah, because Disneyland, it's basically no Marvel attractions east of the Mississippi. That was the licensing deal.
Yeah, odd. Yeah, I mean, I won't belabor it. I'm not the hugest Marvel person. The new Spider-Man attraction at Disneyland is supposed to be very cool. I'm sure it is.
I didn't even look at the
Universal Spider-Man attraction.
I tried to do that. Maybe I would try to go again. I don't like kind of simulatory stuff, and I know that isn't a full-on simulator, but I did remember, like, you know, when that scene where Spider-Man, you're going up the building. Yeah. That one made me kind of, I had to close my eyes for that. But I would be happy to, that's the thing I feel bad about also, is that everybody talks this big game about Universal. Oh, Universal's killing it right now. Universal's doing so much better than Disney. They're making these better rides. But for me, Universal's just not really another viable option, not because I don't like their IP, but because all they build are straight thrill rides.
Right. They're going for something entirely different.
Yeah. They're trying to like make rides for like teenagers, but I went from a small child to an old man. There was no in between.
I will be there when the Florida version of Super Mario World opened. You look at this, they already have it in Japan and it's so cool. And I cannot wait for it to be here. And now they're expanding in Japan and adding a Donkey Kong like land to it.
Donkey Kong Country. Okay.
Yeah, basically. So that's probably when I will next go to Universal.
Nice. I would like to go. I really, like I said, I wish I could do more of the rides. I would love to, because I like Harry Potter and I like Jurassic Park I like a lot of that stuff. It's just that it just doesn't feel like stuff I'd be interested in riding.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. Well, I think we did it. I think we fixed it. Bob Chapek, if you're listening, or Chapek, whatever your name is.
Go back to counting ketchup, Bob.
Oh boy. whoever's running Disney is always the villain at the time, you know.
Kind of, but like Chapek's like especially the villain. Chapek, and he does it to himself because he is now, here we go, Mike. Here's your hot take that's gonna like spread all over the internet. The hot take really is that if I feel like, so any, and this is like me to my fellow Disney fans, as somebody who wrote his master's thesis on Disney parks fandom, online fandom, okay, we all have to admit we have a problem. Disney parks are, for many of us, they are the way that we relax. They are the place that we go to feel happy in a way. And it is the place also that we go to, where one of the reasons we say it makes us feel so good is because we literally block out the world. We block out the real world. When you're on Disney property, you're just enveloped in it and you can't see anything beyond it. It is truly a transformational experience. But ultimately, it is like a drug. Like I'm not going to lie. I sat down with somebody once who was in recovery, and I explained to them like, what is, you know, why do you love going to Disney so much? I said, I love it because for those 4 days, I don't have to think about anything but what's going to make me happy. And I just feel good for 4 days. I don't have to think about anything. And they said, oh, that's heroin. Like that's that is what it's like. And I was like, okay, like Disney is our drug. We may joke about it, but it really can be. And what I don't like, what I think is amazing about Bob Chapek is that he basically has said without saying it, okay, we know that. We know that we're your drug dealer.
I'm your pusher, man.
Not only am I not going to like stop you, I know though that I can keep raising my prices and basically do whatever I want, because at the end of the day, you need me. You can't go anywhere else and get my drug. You can't go anywhere and get Disney. You got to just come to me. And the sad truth is, like, he's right.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of people who I know really are saying, like, I go to Universal instead. So you have an option. Totally valid if you can go for a try. you never know what you're going to like. But for people like me who just, you know, who enjoy the sort of calmer rides and that kind of stuff, like there really is nowhere else to go. You can't go to Knott's Berry Farm. You can't go to Six Flags. Like you just can't, you just don't have any other options. Disney is it. So it's, you know, it makes you think.
Well, thank you for that admission. Admitting you have a problem is the first step.
Yeah, no, I believe me. That was like the thing I was thinking about the most when they made this whole Lightning Lane announcement that we started talking about.
Because you were angry, but you were like, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to not go.
Yeah.
Well, this is an interesting question. Is there a deal breaker for you? Is there anything that Disney could do that you would go, I am never going again? I'll tell you what it is for me.
Yeah. Go.
If you close the Haunted Mansion,
if you remove
that attraction, I will not go to your park anymore. Good service.
Yeah. No. I could see that. I think for me, it's the breaking. So it's hard for me to determine just because like the way I see it is the breaking point for me is when do I stop seeing any value in going? Basically, when do you get rid of enough attractions that I actually just mathematically look and say, it is not worth my going because I do not enjoy enough to do whatever more than a day's worth or there's just not enough here. I'm kind of getting to that point. I'm starting to count up and realize I could probably do trips in 2 days, especially if this Lightning Lane works the way it should, plus the single attraction passes. Like I could reasonably do every attraction I want to do in 2 days if I really tried. And that's already starting to make me think like, is this worth it? But also that's why part of me is moving towards the cruise. And that's a whole different drug though.
And a whole different episode.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't wait till we do that episode.
Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure to have you. This is PCMC. We are available anywhere podcasts can be found. We come out every Wednesday with new, exciting content. We end every episode by saying,
bye-bye.